In the temple, are you sequentially studying Bhagavad Gita, or can just follow that sequence? Those of you that have come for these, do you have a Bhagavad Gita class here at the temple on a regular basis? No.
No.
No. Maybe what I'll do is I'll answer. Well, 5 days ago I was in St. Louis, Missouri, and they asked me to speak on chapter 12, text number 16, so maybe I'll speak on chapter 12, text number 17, right after that. Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. I'll read the Sanskrit and you can follow along, then I'll read the translation. Samakshatra shimitne cha satamana pamanayo Hitoshna sukhato ishu samatsanga vivarjitaha Shodhya nithastu kirmami santushto yena kenchat kena chit aniketa stiram matkir Bhaktiman Deviyo Naraha. Translation. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, heat and cold, happiness and disgust, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent, and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residents, who is fixed in knowledge, and who is engaged in devotional service, such a person is very dear to me. A devotee is always free from all bad association. Sometimes one is praised, sometimes one is defamed. That is the nature of human society. But a devotee is always transcendental to artificial fame and infamy, distress or happiness. He is very patient. He doesn't speak of anything but the topics about Krishna. Therefore he is called silent. Silence does not mean that one should not speak. Silence means that one should not speak. That's one of Prabhupada's favorite words. Nonsense. One should not speak. Nonsense. One should speak only of essentials. And the most essential speech for the devotee is to speak for the sake of the Supreme Lord. The devotee is happy in all conditions. Sometimes he may get irritable foodstuffs, sometimes not, but he is satisfied. Or does he care for any residential facility? He may sometimes live under a tree, and he sometimes may live in a very palatial building. He is not attracted to either. He is called fixed because he is fixed in his determination and knowledge. You may find some repetition in the descriptions of the qualities of the devotee, but this is just to emphasize the fact that the devotee must acquire all these qualifications. Don't be discouraged. Actually, the spiritual world that we're being invited to, and the spiritual world that are all these things from. Without good qualifications, one cannot be a pure devotee. One who is not a devotee has no good qualification. One who wants to be recognized as a devotee should develop the good qualifications. Of course, he does not extraneously endeavor to acquire these qualifications, but engagement in Krishna consciousness and devotional service automatically helps him develop them. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Chapter 12 of the Gita is a chapter that's entitled Devotional Service. Chapter 12 completes the second, third, what is 6 plus 6 plus 6? 3 times 6 equals? 3 times 6 equals? 18. Very good. You didn't want to give a wrong answer. But you knew the answer because you were. So, how many chapters are there in Bhagavad Gita? 18. And Bhagavad Gita is divided into three sections. 6, then 6, and 6 equals 18. So, the second 6 ends with chapter 12. Right? 6 plus 6 is 12, plus 6 is 18. So, at the end, the middle 6 chapters, according to Vishwanath Chakravarti, Krishna is presenting the essential message of Bhagavad Gita, which is devotional service. Bhakti. And it is bhakti that gives strength and support to karma and jnana, the topics that are also spoken about in the first 6 and the final 6 chapters. But there is bhakti within them also, otherwise it would just be karma, it wouldn't be karma yoga. I would just be jnana, it wouldn't be jnana yoga, because the word yoga is appropriate when there's bhakti. Because through bhakti, there's linking with the supreme. So this 12th is a conclusion and summary of this discussion about bhakti. And there are 3 sections of chapter 12. And the 3 sections of chapter 12 are, first, Arjuna is asking Krishna to definitively tell him, instruct him, which is better, worshipping your personal form, worshipping your impersonal form. Because just prior to chapter 12 is chapter 11. And in chapter 11, Krishna shows his universal form. And when Arjuna sees the universal form, and the details of the universal form are described, he's overwhelmed. He's a powerful warrior who's trembling. Krishna, please move this form. and show the original form. So Krishna doesn't immediately show his original form, he shows his forearm, Vishnu's form, and then he shows his original form. And Krishna says that no one can understand me as I am standing before you, except my devotees. Bhaktama Abhijana. No one knows me except my devotees. So then immediately, Arjuna asks, which do you consider to be better, those that worship your personal form, or those that worship the impersonal feature of you? Very direct, clear question, and the answer is equally clear. Krishna says that the two. This is best. Better is best. The best form of worship. And those that worship the impersonal feature, he gives two reasons why it's inferior. It's indirect. And therefore, it's very difficult for those who are embodied. And that pretty much includes everybody. There may be some ghosts and spirits floating around somewhere that are not embodied, but the rest of us, we're embodied. And embodied souls to fix the mind on formlessness. I mean, even to think of formlessness. That which has no qualities. Think about it. That which has no form. That which has no name. That which has no substance. The all-pervasive, fixed and immovable, the impersonal feature of the Supreme. To fix the mind in that way is very, very difficult. Very, very difficult. Practically impossible. So, bhakti class is better because it's natural, it's direct. And the form of Krishna is all spiritual, so fixing the form upon the mind, upon the form of Krishna, which is all attractive and all spiritual, it's very natural and direct. And the other is unnatural. Thank you. Prabhupada gives this example, I'm sure you've heard it before. If the child is asked in school, you ready for this one? I don't know what your name is, but you're wearing a red shirt. And you're smiling now. Can you please, with your finger, touch your nose? Can you do that? Now, is there another way to touch your nose besides this way? How about this one? That's touching the nose. It's just, you know, behind your head. So, which is better? This one? Or that one? This one's better. Why? It's simple. It's direct. It's very natural. Something that's very complicated, they can come up with another way. Maybe, you know, behind your back and over your shoulder and touch the nose. Maybe a third way. But this is natural. Very simple, very practical. Bhakti is like that. Connecting with Krishna through devotion, thinking of his personal form. It's very direct. And the dharma is like, so it can be accomplished, but the end is the same. You have to touch your nose. This way or that way. Just like earlier in Bhagavad Gita, Bhuvanam Janmanam Ante. That means after many, many births. Bahu means Janma means birth. Ante means after. So after many births, Bhuvanam Janmanam Ante. Janavan. Janavan means one who possesses knowledge. Janavan. Mam Prapatite. They surrender unto me. So supposing someone says, oh, I don't want to surrender to Krishna. I like this impersonal thing. I want to meditate on being personal. So they study Vedanta, and after lifetimes, bahu janma, many, many births, many, not true, but maybe they'll come to the position of knowledge. And if they come to the position of knowledge, what's the evidence? Mom, look like your cave. And what's that knowledge? Vasudeva Sarvaniti. Krishna's everything. Some Atmasa Gurubhava, that's a great soul is there in the air. Maybe, after many, many birds of us, maybe you can touch your nose. Maybe. But it's indirect. Take the direct process. That's what Krishna is advocating. The second reason is the Krishna factor. Krishna becomes the swift deliverer for one who is his devotee. Here's a mathematical equation. Very simple. Which is better? A, your own effort. B, your effort plus Krishna helping you. Which is it? A or B? B. So, therefore, bhakti process is to rely upon Krishna's descending mercy by meditating upon and serving and worshiping his personal form. So, that's better. That was Arjuna's question. Krishna gave the answer. He also gave him a bonus. He told him why. Two specific reasons. That's the first section of chapter 12. The next section of chapter 12, Krishna says, so, and one who does that, one who approaches the direct way, he describes that stage of bhakti. And it's very standard for the whole rest of Bhagavad Gita because this chapter 12 is a summary. That person who has his mind fixed upon me, two things. Not complicated. Mind fixed upon me and intelligence always engaged in me. Such a person lives in me always. Without a doubt. And then he does this, you know, can't do that. Some person may say, oh, that's nice. But I don't know if I can always do that. My walk always fits in Krishna and intelligence always absorbed in him. What about me? Well, Krishna says, if you can't fix your consciousness in that way, follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. And you'll develop a desire to come to that stage. Right? Nice. And it's true. If performed properly, the desire to come to that stage becomes stronger. And somebody may say, well, that's very nice. But I don't know if I can follow all those regulations of bhakti yoga. What about me? Krishna says, if you can't do that, follow all the regulations of bhakti. Then, try to work for me. What is work for Krishna in Sanskrit? What's that term? Work for Krishna. Kama yoga. You have a problem with the regulative standards of bhakti? You can't rise early in the morning, perform a bhakti, take a bath, and so on and so on and so on. You can't do those chants. I can imagine that you have people here in your congregation that like to do service. Maybe they like to serve out prasadam. Maybe they like to clean up the temple afterwards, after the Sunday feast. Or maybe they like to do some landscaping or something. They'll come around and help cut the vegetables or buy the flowers or go to the market. Or just, you know, they may not be sadhakas, but they like to do service. Do you have some people like that? I often have some people like that. But you know, they don't chant the regular way. You ask them, how's your chanting? Sometimes. But they like to work for Krishna. So that's, and by working for Krishna, there's purification. And to that purification, one may come to the standard of starting to chant japa and follow the regulations of bhakti yoga. doesn't want to develop a desire, come to Krishna. And somebody may say, oh, that's very nice, but I don't know if I can do that. All the time just work for Krishna. What about me? So then Krishna gives another level. And listen to this, and as you're hearing it, think about the practice of religion in the world today, and what people expect religions in the world today to do. Two things are mentioned. Perform charitable work. Benefit of others. Speak. Try to come to the selfless platform. Work. Do something for the benefit of others. Give in charity to others. Be charitably disposed to others. And, second thing, try to be situated in the self. But how do you become situated in the self? You have to have some knowledge of what the self is. And so Krishna says, if you can't do that, then cultivate knowledge. The benefit of that is meditation. Excuse me. If you can't do that, engage in meditation. You can't engage in meditation, cultivate knowledge. Because cultivation of knowledge is to understand matter from spirit. And who are we? Are we matter or are we spirit? The spirit. And so, cultivation of knowledge of the soul. And then, above that is try to be situated in the self. This knowledge of the soul, that act from that platform and be charitable. So in this way there's like a ladder called the yoga ladder. Up and up and up and up the ladder. There's even before you get on the ladder, there's cultivation of knowledge or meditation. Gradually purifying your existence to the point where you can be situated in yourself and be charitable, or engaging work for Krishna, or follow the regulations of bhakti, or be on the topmost stage, mind completely absorbed in Krishna, and intelligence always fixing him. That's the second section of chapter 12. And the third section of chapter 12 is very confidential. Confidential in this sense, Krishna is describing what he feels when a devotee comes to him. Isn't that confidential? Like, you know, you're the pujari, and you're going up to the altar to perform the arti, and you're clean, and you're following all the regulations of bhakti, and you're coming before Krishna to make an offering. Radha Gokula Chandra is receiving the worship, and he starts speaking to you about what he feels. I would say that would be very confidential. That's what Krishna is doing in this third section, chapter 12, probably. When such a devotee, his practitioner of sadhana bhakti, has come to the stage where their attraction to attain Krishna will always be with Krishna as an agent. What does Krishna feel? He feels very happy. And so when Krishna feels very happy, what does he do? What is a sign of Krishna happiness in relation to his sincere devotee? And the answer is he begins decorating that devotee with nice qualities. And when Krishna decorates that devotee with nice qualities, Krishna derives pleasure seeing that devotee so nicely decorated. And when the devotee feels that Krishna has become pleased by the little service that I've done, and somehow he becomes happy, the devotee becomes more happy. And he becomes further decorated with more qualities by Krishna. Krishna then becomes more consistent. Transcendental competition between the devotee and Krishna. Just like it's described in that devotion. Just like it. Our level is down here. The level that's described in nectar devotion is up there, but it's the same principle. The principle that's described in nectar devotion is the gopis decorate themselves. Not because they want to be fashion models or show this and that, their opulences or their beauty or their something, something. I don't think so. But they want Krishna to be pleased. That's the meditation. And when they come before Krishna and Krishna smiles, it's so happy that their beauty increases. And as their beauty increases, Krishna's happiness increases and he smiles even more brightly. And as they see Krishna smile even more brightly, their beauty increases and so on, described. It's a transcendental exchange of thoughts between Krishna and the gopis. So we're not gopis. We're way down here. We're little sadhakas. Same principle of thought. If we simply, sincerely, earnestly, and honestly want to please Krishna somehow, who would we to please Krishna with like nobody? But we're part of Krishna. And Krishna wants our service, more specifically, he wants our love. So if we come forward with that sincere desire to please Krishna, he's pleased. He doesn't need anything. With already fully self-satisfied, he becomes very pleased. And his pleasure is, he decorates his devotee, his quality. There's a verse of the Bhagavatam that describes this. It's a metaphor. It's how a devotee becomes decorated with nice quality. The example is given in Vaishakadeva Goswami. He states that when you decorate yourself, your face, you're putting on tilak in the morning, taking your shower, you're putting on tilak. But as you're putting on tilak, you don't see your face, you see the reflection in the mirror. Yeah? You see the reflection in the mirror. So you're putting the tilak on. So as you're putting the tilak on your face, you're putting the tilak on the reflection in the mirror. At the same time. So Shukadeva Goswami says, when service unto Krishna is performed, it may look like that we're decorating the deity very nicely, or we're organizing the Sunday program very nicely, we're receiving the guests very nicely, we're going Harinam, we have very nice Harinam for the pleasure of Lord Chaitanya. But what happens is the devotee becomes decorated. The devotee becomes jubilant on Harinam Sankirtan. And the temple atmosphere becomes jubilant because the Sunday program is organized very nicely, the deity is decorated very nicely. The devotee becomes decorated by decorating the deity. The devotee, we are the ones that benefit. Krishna doesn't need anything. We are the ones that are benefited. Just like some temples, recently was in Vrindavan, a group of devotees. Some temple deity worship is so impeccably wonderful. In some places it's so neglected. The place is dirty and the cloth is not clean. It's hard for you to look at the deity because you know the deity is such a good careful nation. And you look at the Bhujani and you're not happy. But those devotees that are serving the deity very nicely, they're a fantastic personality. Just to be in their presence, you feel good. I can give an example, but it won't take too long. But you understand the point. The point is, by our serving Krishna, we become decorated by Krishna. Again, he can't put him on decoration, but putting on tilak on your face. The mirror is also showing. We're only seeing the mirror, but the face becomes decorated by that service. So, in the purport here, Prabhupada is making reference to, he didn't quote the entire verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but I will. Yasyasi bhakti bhagavati kinshana, sire vayu tanai shastra sama bhakti sana. This part he quotes. Harab abhaktasya kuto mahajana manovati na iti bhavato vidi. There's two parts. The first part is those who are devotees, they're decorated with all good qualities. Those who are not devotees, harab abhaktasya bhakti, and then the opposite, abhakti, no devotion. Devotion unto who? Hari. Harab abhaktasya kuto mahadguna. They have no good qualities. That's a strong statement. Those who are not devotees have no good qualities. But it's true. And even if you see what appears to be a good quality, wait a while. Because something that's real, it doesn't disappear in time. It doesn't appear and disappear and appear and disappear. It's substantial. It's enduring. Just like this verse is describing. The qualities of a devotee are not dependent upon circumstance. I'll say it again, give an example. The qualities of a devotee are not dependent on circumstance. That is, I'll be friendly as long as you treat me nicely. And you don't treat me nicely, here come the claws and teeth. Because you didn't treat me nicely. Now that's not a good quality. That circumstantially I'm nice because you're nice. And if you're not nice, I'm not nice. And you say, you justify their mind. You know, what do you expect when they speak like this and do like this? And you know, what do they expect? That's not spiritual. That's Vaishnava. Vaishnava is the circumstance doesn't create the quality. The circumstance doesn't take away the quality. It's on the platform of the soul's relationship with Krishna, that quality is manifest. And when that shelter in Krishna is there, nothing can take that quality away. The position of contentment, of feeling protected and safe and happy, because there's real shelter. Make it to the extreme. Palat Maharaj. We're not Palat Maharaj. The principle is there. What was the fault of Palat Maharaj? He was faultless. The same criticism is given in Mahabharata by Vidura against Duryodhana and Dhritarashtra. Yudhishthira was faultless. He's a perfect being. And you want to kill me? What's wrong with you? You've caused them so much hardship, so much grief, so much trouble. And for what reason? They're fallen. For this, I can understand something. I can understand that all the pious merit that allowed you to take birth in the family of Puru and thus entitled you to be in the royal family, you're on your way out. Because you're destroying that pious merit, and you're going to be finished. The whole kingdom will be finished. I can see it clearly. So, qualities in a devotee are not circumstantial. Or the happiness of a devotee is not circumstantial. Just like the Srimad Bhagavatam describes. Bhakti Devi Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojaka Rajani Rati Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Sarvada Haitakam. Causelessly, a Haitakam, causelessly, knowledge and detachment arise. And Ahoitaki Lakatiyaka Niyatma Sutta Sivati. That devotional service, which is not caused by anything, nor is it checked by anything. Hatred in Sanskrit means cause. You know, like cause and effect. Material nature is simply a combination of cause and effect. The whole of technology, the whole of science is cause and effect. And then the question comes, what's the cause of that? Prior cause and so on and so on. The spiritual searches for the absolute cause of all causes. Dharma, karma, karma. But when there's no, when there's a quality that's not caused by anything, it's just part of the soul, because it's not caused by anything, there's nothing that can check it. Nothing outside that can check it. Like, you know, somebody, your temple commander gives you some service. And the service is, can you clean the temple room after the temple feast? Or can you make some garments for the deity? And you say, well, if you get the flowers together, and put the string together, and put the needle together, and give me a nice cloth that I can put all that on, then I can make the garments for the deity. If any piece is missing, done. Well, the flowers are right over there, the string is right over there, and the cloth is right over there. You put them right in front of me, I can do that service, but otherwise, you know, I can't do that service. Unless there's facility, I can't do my service. That's not the platform of bhakti. The platform of bhakti is Shiva Prabhupada. Getting the instruction. Present Krishna consciousness to the English speaking people of the world. What prior facility does Prabhupada have? The answer was zero. They just had an instruction. Do it. And you know, his task to figure out how to do it. Prabhupada writes in his little diary from the Jalabhuta. He described he walked down the plane from the ship to New York Harbor and got at the end of the plane. He said, I didn't know if I should turn left or turn right. Where was he to go? You know, when I arrived at the airport in Diana, there were devotees there, ready, you know, ready to take me to, you know, the next place I'm supposed to go. What if I walked out of the airport and I didn't know if I was turning left or turning right? I didn't know anybody in Diana. I didn't have any money in my pocket. I didn't have any phone number. What do you do? What do you do? I was sharing this with some devotees when I was in college. My senior year in college, and I was living in a large farmhouse. Literally was on a farm, we rented a farmhouse. And in the house there were six people. And while I was still an undergraduate in college, three of those people went with one of the devotees from the temple to go to Atlanta to start a temple. The person from the temple, which is where I was going to school, to college, was Janamejaya. And Janamejaya was a householder and his amongst all this. His wife had gone. In fact, she was one of the people who was living in the house. And so, Janamejaya and his wife, and a young couple, you know, a guy with a long beard, Paul and Jennifer, they went to Atlanta to start a temple. Did they have any address of where they were going to stay in Atlanta? Answer? Nope. Did they have any money to stay anywhere? Answer? Nope. But they had an instruction. You should have helped them. Go start a center of the So they went to a university, Emory University in Atlanta. They met William Ogle, who later became Paul Bonta, who later became the temple president, became the GDC. And he just stayed with Paul Bonta, all four of them, in his apartment. Made him the voting union. Became the temple president. Amazing story. There's so many amazing stories like that. Thank you. I'll tell one more amazing story. But this is where we're not dependent upon the Sogi. We're dependent upon our spiritual master's instruction. When I heard the story from Rupananda, I was just amazed. Rupananda was a student at Yale University. Does that mean anything here in Guyana? Yale University? It's one of the top colleges in the world. Ivy League school. You gotta be really smart. And he was really smart. He finished his undergraduate and law degree, which normally takes 8 years. He finished it 3 years at Yale University. Bill Mungo was smart. Like, extraordinarily brilliant. And after his third year, he was already, had finished his studies. He got a special scholarship to go to the Sorbonne. Sorbonne is a special higher education institute in Paris. So he went with a scholarship. He just went to studying in Paris. When he was studying in Paris, he met the voting. He had never met the voting before. He had never met the voting before. He was walking along the street and saw a devotee from Montreal, his name is Jai Balaram. And if anybody that knows Jai Balaram, he's this very thin devotee, very fragile, very kind of gentle person. And the little Frenchmen gathered around him, dressing him. And French people are like that. They're very, verbal, argumentative type people. So Jai Balaram, Jai Balaram was being very calm and speaking to these French people in French. And Rupananda spoke French and he was listening and watching and finding the French people back. And he was just so moved by the quality of this young Brahmachari. We asked him, who are you? What are you doing here? He said, I am my Krishna devotee, and here's our Bhagavad Gita, and why don't you come and visit our restaurant? Sure, I'm just coming. So he sat down to prasadam, and then he found out that Prabhupada was coming to the Paris. So, first of all, 1 week, Prabhupada came to Paris. Prabhupada stayed for 3 or 4 days. He met Rupananda and said, you're a bright young man. Why don't you go to Austria and start a Hare Krishna temple? He wasn't initiated. He was like, a week and 3 days. He was like 10 days of Hare Krishna devotee. But Prabhupada's contact was made such an impression. He said, okay. He didn't have any money. He didn't have any place to stay. He told me. He went door to door. He had books. So he was selling books door to door. And then at night, it's winter in Austria. So he slept in the boiler room of buildings just so he could stay warm. And then, I don't know what he gave. But, then he went to work. It got the Hare Krishna movement. Awesome. I mean, incredible. He could have said, give me some facility and I'll try to do that. Give me some contacts and a cell phone and a car and, a budget and, I can do it. I'll try. There's so many. He later became temple president and started a very large center and leader of one of the largest book distribution efforts in the history of Europe. A qualified person. This case on the stage, you should have qualified. Et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, those are examples to illustrate. A hoist of feet, cut to a car. May I must to proceed a feet. So, proceed a feet, the prefix su means very. And proceed a feet means happy. Prasanati. From the Buddha. Prasanati. That's all to be the conversation. One should become completely happy and contented. Where nothing outside can cause you any difficulty, which is what this verse is describing. I'll read the verse again. One who is equal to friends and enemies, who is equipoised in honor and dishonor, he can hold happiness and distress, fame and infamy, who is always free from contaminating association, always silent and satisfied with anything, who doesn't care for any residents, and who is fixed in knowledge and is engaged in devotional service. Such a person is very dear to me. So one by one, Prabhupada is not entirely, this entire lesson is going through a number of the answers that are in the verse. But right in the verse, Siddhoshna, Sukha, Duke, Shu. Does that sound familiar? Those that know Bhagavad Gita. Second chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vata, Sarsha, Sukhantaya, Siddhoshna, Sukha, Duke, Da. Second chapter of instruction, Bhagavad Gita, put into reality through bhakti. The knowledge that's given life by bhakti. And when you, so when you take shelter of Krishna, it's not just an idea. You know, we're discussing a concept right now. But supposing when you're on your way walking out of the temple room this evening, somebody says some insulting thing. The phrase I heard recently, they pass everyone on. And so how do you feel when somebody passes everyone on? They say something insulting. Why'd you do that? You have other feelings besides, you know, why did you do that? Although, the idea that we're discussing is an idea I'm sure we all appreciate. It's nice. It's equal. And honor and dishonor. Happiness and stress. Heat and cold. Hey, when I left New York, it was 3 degrees. With the windshield factor, 3 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if you go Celsius, it's something like 12 degrees below zero. It's cold. And come here, and we have that fan on. It's hot. You know, I'm not just going to stay here because it's warm. For service. And for service, you can be here or be there. And what the happiness is, the service. If there's not service, that's not happiness. And if there's service, it can be heat or cold. Pleasure or pain, honor or dishonor. That's all but a saying in the fourth text. That's this world. It has duality. So we accept that it has duality, and that's not our source of happiness. This variety, instead of that variety, is duality. None of the varieties of dwelling are our shelter. Krishna is our shelter. So when Krishna is your shelter, that happiness is there. You're neutral. Duality. Because you're situated in the realm of the absolute. You're situated in the platform of the soul. The soul's connection to Krishna. through devotion. It's practical. That's why I'm going to say the last 10 minutes for it. It's practical. It's not just theoretical. It's practical. When there's shelter in Krishna, you find those who have genuine shelter in Krishna, just like that was what Guru Granth was appreciating. Here's this young fellow, from Montreal. In Montreal, they also speak French. And these four people were harassing him. And he was meeting understood. He wouldn't say, no, get out of here. I'm a devotee. Leave me alone. He was speaking very calmly, very composed, very happy. He was very moved by that palm which Krishna had decorated him with. He was at the forest in that difficult circumstance. So, in conclusion, there's many details of this thing. Another class was discussing the details of the verse. But the essential principle is that by this one quality, the quality of taking exclusive shelter in Krishna, all other qualities follow. Prabhupada said, whether spiritual well-being, material well-being follows like a shadow. It's true. Well, here's another example, something that our children can understand. There's a king, and there's a queen. And often, queens were given in Vedic times and other situations. Queens were given attendance. There's in the British system, they're called ladies in waiting. And, like, when Devaki was married to Vasudeva, in addition to a number of her sisters who also married to Vasudeva, she was given many attendant girls. That were, their job was just to serve Devaki and her sisters, the queens. So Prabhupada's example. As the queen is moving about the palace of the king, when she goes this way, the attendants follow her. She goes that way, they follow her. This way, that way. They're following her all around the palace. And what is the faithful queen thinking about? The king. Her happiness is not, oh, so many attendants are following me, whatever I want I can have. The faithful queen is only thinking about one thing. The king. And this is the king. So a devotee is like that. Facility may come, or quick qualities may come, or whatever it is that may come. The consciousness of the faithful devotee is on one thing, Krishna. And what Krishna says, when he sees that quality, that core quality, he's very pleased. And if there's something that any of us would want more than that one thing, that you come before Krishna and Krishna smiles. Is there anything else that you could want? Transcendental existence? You come before Krishna and Krishna smiles. You made Krishna happy. Perfection of devotion. The Krishna is just spoken in the cosmos. What happiness he feels when he sees the qualities of devotion coming forward to serve him. So, thank you. And there are seasons. Any comments or questions?
Thank you.
or conditioned soul, thank you. But if we want to look at what Bhishma Dev said, this, he said it was such a greater, such an extreme, that the persons that had to undergo the ordeals that you have had to undergo, you should not have lived. Being killed, this is the ordeal of life. Who is killed? An ordinary person. But the issue of feeling sadness, unhappiness, those things, oh, Krishna, let us down. Krishna is a protector. He didn't protect us. He wasn't doing that. He was feeling sadness, unhappiness, pain, sorrow. If Krishna wants us to serve in this way, so be it. If Krishna wants us to serve in that way, so be it. That's not the problem. The mood, the vision of Krishna service, that's happiness. Now, your question is, for conditioned souls, how to come to that state? So, if we have our practices, we have our divinities of sadhana bhakti, to purify our existence. We have teaching that can, like Bhagavad Gita, this way, that teaches us how to practice these things. And we practice these things. And we have our sadhana to give us spiritual strength, so that we can practice these things. In practice, in real life, and gradually through the perfect example, so many of them, from our perfected acharyas. Amongst us, we're not perfected acharyas, but amongst us there are persons that show these qualities nicely. And that's inspiring. And let me go down that path and put my trust in Krishna. And we become purified and pick up. The kindness and mercy of Krishna. So slowly, however incrementally slowly that may be, we can experience moving if we're following the path of bhakti, we can experience protection, Krishna's shelter and protection. Even from our own shortcomings, our own conditions. Can you verify that in your own experience? Must be, because otherwise, how can you go on? And in honesty, there may be periods when there's greater strength and there's periods when there's lesser strength. But when there's submission of the Krishna, there's great strength and protection. There's shelter, genuine. The cares of this world just gone. It's genuine. Pratyaksha avagamam dhanyam susukam pratyaksha. It's true. You can directly experience pratyaksha. Means direct experience. Direct perception. You get to see the effects of taking shelter of Krishna. Even where conditions are. Rupa Goswami gives the example in that the devotion of shadow bhakti, avas bhakti. Just like we have, we're more familiar with the term namavas. There's namakaran, offensive against the holy name. And the other end, Shudhanam, pure devotion of the holy name. And in between is the clearing space, or Nam Abbas. It's a reflection of the holy name. So Nam Bhakti Abbas is similarly a reflection of devotion. So that in our growing Krishna consciousness, we've all had ecstatic moments in kirtan or a service or something where we've experienced great happiness. According to Rupa Goswami, that's just a shadow of real happiness. Bhakti Abbas. Sometimes when we're offering prayers to the deity, we feel something. Bhakti Abbas is a shadow. Krishna is encouraging us. But that experience is encouraging. It helps us go to the next step. We can see in the life of those coming from conditioned soul life who apply themselves very seriously, very carefully. They don't have to be, you know, big personalities. They can be, but they can be just, you know, simple, humble devotees. If they apply themselves, one who applies himself very seriously, we can see the progress, how their life is changing. Individuals give a testimony such that there's evidence that says, wow, the process works. Although I'm a conditioned soul, there's elevation. If I follow the process carefully. And gradually that stage where the conditional influences, the forces of duality, or the pushing of anger, lust and greed subside. And getting relief from that harassment. And alone, you know, what would be the possibility of having that happen? Finish. So we're actually, although the conditioned soul, we're receiving mercy and this affection. Therefore, let us continue taking the shelter, becoming eager for mercy. Questions and answer sessions, when there's participation, is the best part of any gathering. Maybe, in my experience as a traveling sannyasi, in the audience knows the speaker, you know, the head of the bell and the sarsa from the company. Maybe to our meeting, that's the best. Subject matter of?
Equilibrium.
Equilibrium. Okay.
We see that the devotee is a Yura, he's very sober in the midst of our meeting. Because we see Krishna. But we also see that the Vaishnava is talking to you. That you don't need pain. And also, how many of the
I'll just second you first. Say first positively and then negatively. What a devotee should do when seeing the suffering of another devotee is there should be genuine caring. At the same time, one should be very wary, this is the negative part, about getting drawn into the doership mentality of this problem. Karta hum. So, if you don't have karta hum, or the thinking, I'm the doer, but when you have caring for another person, what is it? It's not, I'm going to do something. Do something, but you do something as an instrument of Krishna. So when you do something as an instrument of Krishna, there's a detachment. That is, it's up to Krishna. I can do something because I care. But because I'm an instrument, I'm not the cause of the result of that extending to the other devotee. And so there's detachment. Put the two together is caring detachment, or detached caring. Another way of saying the same thing is, do not become the owner of another's problem. You can become an instrument of compassion and care, provided your Krishna connection is strong. Then you can bring your Krishna to be an instrument to help that other person in whatever capacity that you have, with amongst the so many other services that are your services to look after. But I'll give a meeting example. Maybe some of you here don't know that there's a Mahavishnu Goswami who's a 90-year-old Gujarati sannyasi in this month. And he's right now in the hospital in June. And he's nearly finished. He's 90 years old. He has an asthma problem that complicates his breathing. And on top of the chronic asthma problem, there's some other kind of I forget what the technical thing is, but you know, it's causing him to be unable to breathe. If he can't breathe, he's going to die. And the doctors are limited in what they can do because this thing will trigger the asthma problem and that thing will, you know, trigger the other problem. So they're very restricted from what they can do. So we can pray. Because it's wonderful, wonderful lifestyle. But what can we do? One example. This is an example for the easiest to understand principle. Supposing somebody's proximate. Somebody in the community is diagnosed as having a terminal something or other. One of my god sisters, Russi Gad. For years, we part of my temple plays and we went to Melbourne and went to Huntington and died with leukemia. And she now has cancer. Didn't have a husband to look after her, she just had to go to the community to look after her. So if there's a group of devotees that are going with her, to have fun with her, and they're taking care of her. But what can we do? Because if Krishna wants to take her, Krishna's going to take her. So you can serve as best you can to provide Krishna conscious association. So if Krishna wants to take her, she can be in her maximum condition of Krishna consciousness. Or someone that's doing my duty, something like that. A small child, an accident, or something. To extend care to somebody, something. To extend care. But see yourself as Krishna's instrument. Not, I'm just a problem. So you can have an emotional problem, or a family problem, or whatever it is. financial problem. He has all the problems. All the problems of the world. Okay. But it's not Christian conscious either. It's realistic. Minister not from above the seventy passion. We're listening to Christian will. If we're surrendered to Christian, that much we can do it. And the devotee will be in the condition. But the neutrality, the equanimity, the inner position is, you Christian is in control of that person's life. And I deserve to be Christian, so I can do something to serve it according to my capacity. And the outcome of that position. An excellent medium for that lesson is book distribution. Where one knows that desire should have qualified, but he wants to see the books distributed, so one goes forth and distributes the books. But you, in mentality, you're under the distributor of books. You're in the cosmic mentality, and it's miserable. But if you're in the instrument mentality, it's ecstatic. And then, however many books and whatever happens, and however many nasty people there are, however many pleasant people there are, however many people say, oh, I've been looking for this book. It's all Dr. Krishna. And we're just an instrument. We're learned, compassionate, at the same time strengthening, we're caring for the fulfilling of the desire of Father Shani. And it immediately has this carryover in terms of the world, or your friend, or another Vaishnava, or family member. But they're not so back to the first one. Pralhad Maharaj is a wonderful example. How peaceful is Pralhad Maharaj in the face of torture, literally torture. Peaceful. Wasn't pretense at all. He was so peaceful. And he didn't have any gap in any sort of body with the instrument of the torture. He's all affection for his father. With the formal thing, he's being delivered for all the reactions to bad activities, not just against you, but against everybody. But Prahlad was saying, I don't want to go back to Godhead without these foolish people who are suffering unnecessarily in the material world. Please deliver them to me. Not caring. With detachment. It's not a contradiction. It's a deep caring. But remaining equipoise, or equanimity, with equanimity, as you chose those words. One's happiness is not created or destroyed by the circumstance. One's happiness is serving the Lord. And he can serve. Others want to serve. It's a challenging position to attain, but that's our life. And the more we can come to the platform, I'll just share this in conclusion. As GDC chairman, I had lots of opportunities to learn about the one I'm just speaking about. Just in the instrument. And doing all kinds of things. I don't mind at all. But doing it with great enthusiasm and trying to be very responsible and trying to like muster together the incredible skill set that one has to do to do good service. It's just depending upon somehow make that happen. Serves the devotees. We can't clean it off the boat. Because something's hard to do, so we can't clean it. And I'm going to clean it off the boat. How do you do that? It's very complicated. If you stray from the platform of being listening to Krishna, instant bloodshed. Big mess. Because you don't have to wait, you know, until the knock on the door that says, we will remain this day. So the Lord is going to make this day. It's wonderful to say that humble is just completely servant. As sincere as possible, as caring as possible, with compassion. As Krishna shot him, this instant, this bell instant, myself, to be their instrument. That Krishna is my position. To every sense of my position. That it's a nice position to be in. And we all have that opportunity in different degrees. One of the purposes of the human is to pass it to the different and so on. It's not a less or greater principle, it's the same principle for anybody. And real happiness is being in that position. At the condition. And outside of that, there's not happiness. And we all want to be happy. Without exception. One thing that we all share is we want to be happy. The condition of happiness is clearly in the state. And when you're looking at the question of time, it happens to be in the state. We were an equal opportunity organization. Krishna's lotus feet are extended to each and every one of us. That whole. Yeah.